Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Oh, Craig
Lucas. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sin.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Shalom and good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of the ISBHBK Bible Talk Podcast. My name is Rashab. I'm one of the teachers with the ISBHBK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We have school locations in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and Rochester, New York. Shalom and welcome to our podcast, presented to you on iHeartRadio Podcast, on Apple iTunes Podcast, on Google Podcasts, on Podcast Addict, and also, you know, our mother station, where it all started from, www.blogtalkradio.com. I'm kind of addressing things now as the podcast. People are a little bit more familiar with a podcast than they are with a blog talk. So same show, just repackaging a little bit. Again, welcome to the 12 tribes worldwide. Shalom and greetings to Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, and Issachar. The 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, the chosen people of God, the chosen seed coming out of Abraham, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, Jacob's name being changed to Israel, and from the 12 sons that he did have, and the two that he adopted, Joseph and Manasseh, Manasseh and Ephraim, we do have the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, if you will. Cool. Brothers and sisters, hope y'all caught the podcast class yesterday. Yesterday being Tuesday, the 27th, I think it was? The 28th. Tuesday the 28th. Brother is doing, I'm a fan of the brother. I can't express that. I'm a fan of his, the way the brother teaches, the way the brother brings these out. You really feel the love that he has for people, that he really cares. Right, he really does care, and you know, he was going through some health issues yesterday. That story has been this out there. He was going through some health issues yesterday, and literally up until the last minute, he had to put show back a few, several times. But when he came back, you know, when he came and dropped his show, you went to listen to the podcast. You never known that he was going through what he was going through. So I commend the brother for following Christ and following the scriptures the way he does. And for the love he has for teaching, the love he has for people, not just teach for people, to want to see people do better, to want to see people have better, to want to see people live. That brother really does. I mean, he cares. He really does care. And he is much appreciated. I'm not trying to get caught up in that. And as was been announced, and by now everybody should have heard about Chief High Priest Aria, did pass away. Yes, Chief High Priest Aria, his father and a brother by the name of Abba Bivens had actually started the, ISUPK, the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge, back in the 60s. It was his father Yaquab and his brother Abba Bivens, along with Masha. They actually started the ISUP. Lord, hello. I can't tell. I hate these headphones. I can't tell if we're broadcasting or not. But I'm going to go because I tried this the other day and it picked up enough. But the brother from the Israeli School of University of Practical Knowledge, really started by the brother Yaquab and the brother Ariel's father and the brother Abba Bivens in Harlem, New York. One was ongoing Christian in Harlem, New York. Ariel was bar mitzvahed in the truth under Abba Bivens. So that happened at the age of 12 or 13. And that's how long he's been in his work. A lot of times when I was in New York, I was with the headquarters in New York when it was when the name got changed to the Israelite School, moved from the Israeli School to the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge. They had another name changed to the Israeli Church of Universal Practical Knowledge. And then another evolution to the Israelite Church of God in Jesus Christ. We're going back to the beginnings, the seed that was dropped, the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge, to the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge that was started in the 60s. Again, with the brother Abba Bivens, Yaquab, Arya, and Masha, they were there. And then eventually the rest of the seven elders. Abba Bivens had actually been, we call him Abba Bivens, being a father. He was actually put to death by the Muslims. He was actually street evangelizing in New Jersey, trying to wake our people up from back then. And he got jumped in the park he was teaching in. He got jumped. And from those injuries, they wound up being fatal, and he was put to death. And after that, the leadership of the school fell to Yaquab, Masha, Arya, and several others. And then it evolved to the seven elders, where we had Masha, Arya, Yaquab, Lahavi, Shaiashar, and Kizak. The main teacher, I never get a chance to meet Abba Bivens. Yeah, he passed away before I came on the scene, what have you. But one of the greatest teachers was Arya, that the Most High did reveal to him the 12 tribes chart for the Israelites in the Americas. The precepts, that brother's precept game was ridiculous. When I say game, I'm not trying to make fun of it, but his mastery of the precepts was impeccable. He cannot be touched. He cannot be touched. And you see a lot of his students have become leaders of a lot of the major Israelite camps that you see from Netanyahu with the IUIC, Yohana with the ISUPK, Tahar with GMS, and then all the offshoots that are shot off from there, from Sakari. Let me go back any further. Some of his students, Barak, with 12 tribes, of the Masra Yashala, with Netanyahu, with the Mount Zion, with the brother Kahan, with the Light of Zion, that Kahan came up under in the Hebrew Academy, which was under the elders. It was under Masha, Arya, Yaquab, Yishai, Shai, Wahab, Yishai, Shai, and Kizak. When it was originally part of what was called the Truman Program, before it evolved into the Hebrew Academy, the very first class was called the Truman Program. That name was given derived by the brother Lahab. It was the Truman Program, and yeah, the brother Kazakia even coming from that from that generation. Yeah, Kazakia was part of the Truman Program and also the Hebrew Academy. You had again Kahan. Part of the Truman Program and the Hebrew Academy. And then from there, you also have the brothers that you see, Zabak with the House of Israel. It was Hashar with the AOI. You had Daniel Olive with the Maccabees TV. You had, that actually sat in classes with Arya. Some of these great men and great leaders actually sat in Sabbath classes with Arya on Saturdays. They were there at the street teachings to witness how Arya, Lahav, Yishai, Shar, Kazak, how they the mastery that they had on 44th Street and Broadway in New York City. Amazing. But I say mastery again, of being able to teach and deal with any topic, any subject. And not just from an emotional church theological feeling, but actually going through the precepts, going through the Bible and proving the points. And one of the main things that they was proving, that they was commissioned in proving, is that, yes, Jesus Christ is black. That Jesus Christ is black. And to be able to go through and teach that and understand it and bring out not only the what the Bible says, and how the Bible describes the color of the Jews, the color of the people of the Bible, but also the archaeology that started coming out. The archaeological books from Strand's Bookstore, from public libraries, intense studies while still trying to maintain their home lives, while still trying to maintain the school. Again, the dedication that these men showed and gave, and that Ariel showed, it's funny that when you spoke to his father, Yaqub, Yaqub dedicated his life to making sure that the school stayed open. Yaqub was a scribe. He was a hell of a man. But Yaqub remembers telling stories about his son, Ariel, that when Ariel was a young man, he actually had thoughts that Ariel might be homosexual, because Ariel didn't mess with any women. Ariel did not, that where you think a young man whose hormones are he's going through I'm not saying it's embarrassing, man, either. I'm not saying it for that point. But you think where a young man whose hormones are just being ignited, that Ariel would come home from school and he would spend hours upon hours upon hours locked, in their apartment, because they had like a one-room studio, again, in Harlem, New York, in a brownstone, that Ariel would be in there. And he'd pull the Torah out, the actual Torah, the scroll, the Torah, and he'd have the Bible, and would just be studying for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. And it paid off. It truly paid off. That man could go through that Bible, I mean, with expert precision, with surgical precision. That man was the Most High of the Spirit on him. That was just simply amazing. And could go through that Bible like nobody's business. That could prove every point, I don't care what point it was, using them scriptures. And really could be very eloquent, and you was going to get the Bible. You was going to get the Bible. And this man did not play. This man was very, Most had a very serious spirit on him. Even for his name to be Ariel, the name Ariel being Hebrew for lion, same place where you get the word Ariel from. Going back to ancient Hebrew word Ariel, which means lion. And the way the Most I worked with this man, from him studying the Ben Yehudi's Hebrew dictionary, and understanding that, no, that the Israeli way of saying things, the Jewish way of saying things, that Jewish alphabet was wrong, and that there was a biblical alphabet, there's a biblical Hebrew, and developing the Abba God, the Hawazah, and bringing forth that the Paleo Hebrew that we're associated with. That Most High, he was instrumental in the Most High really working through him and giving us that connection back to the Most High, that as Israelites had been rejected by God, we as Israelites had been kicked out of the Promised Land and taught all these different identities that were Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, Mexicans, all the different religions that was forced upon us from Catholicism, any Protestant Christian religion that was forced upon us, even to Islam or to what have you, that we were rejected by God, to where we even lost our nationality. We lost our name. We lost our heritage. And it was just from what was placed upon us from the age of discovery here in the Americas. That basically we were no people until Columbus and Merton Incorporated just happened to show up, or to the Pilgrims happened to show up on Plymouth Rock, until Verrazano, some of the other Spanish explorers, Italian explorers, discovered South America, Central America, and gave us these identities and these religions and forced them literally down our throats that we were no people. And now, according to prophecies, the Lord gives us a chance in returning. As a matter of fact, I do want to read that real quick. Hosea chapter 1. Let me just get several scriptures here. Come on now. I'm not that blind. Come on. Here we go. Book of Hosea, chapter 1 and verse 10. That this is what was prophesied. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. So this is when, again, all the 12 tribes were still in the land of Israel. Right? This is before the Assyrian captivity, that we were still within the land of Israel. Okay? Verse 3. And from the way the idolatry that we as Israelites kept giving us, choosing and giving ourselves over to, the Lord is telling Hosea to literally go marry a whore and have kids with her, because this represents what the Israelites have been doing to the Most High, that we've committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. We're not treating him like he's our husband. We're not treating give him the respect, the love, the loyalty that he deserves. That at this particular time, we were acting like not wives of any type of virtue, but like whores and committing adultery. So now the Lord is telling Hosea, and representing what he's going through, you go marry a woman that's a whore and have kids with her. Verse 3, Hosea chapter 1, verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. That for a lot of the wickedness that we Israelites were doing, that we, one of the kings of Israel named Jehu had actually killed a prophet named Jezreel. So the Lord told Hosea now, okay, take your son and you name him Jezreel after the prophet that was killed from trying to warn the Israelites, trying to warn us about that God was going to get us. When I say get us, that we needed to repent. And he was put to death. And the Lord said, look, because the days about, I'm going to avenge. I'm going to get vengeance. And I'm going to cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. The Assyrians are going to come and get the northern kingdom of Israel up out of here. They're about to leave my land. They got to go. Because, again, and we're talking about Judah, Israel, Simeon, Zerah, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Phelan, and Issachar. That now they're going to be kicked up out the land. The 10 tribes of Israel that have been missing, that's when God was finally that set up and kicked the 10 tribes out, leaving only two tribes, or two and a half tribes, Judah, Benjamin, Levi. Verse 5, Hosea chapter 1, verse 5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And the Most High said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhama, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses or by horsemen. So, again, this is the Lord pronouncing that, yes, the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And now the Lord is pronouncing, again, I'm about to do away with the northern kingdom. I'm going to kick them out of this land, that they're going to be kicked out of this land. Then nobody's going to have my protection. At no point did God ever pronounce it now, he's going to accept a whole other people, a whole other nationality that was never on the table. But I'm going to kick the Israelites out of my life, the new kingdom of Israel, out of this promised land. But I'm going to leave Judah. I'm going to leave the 2.5 tribes of Judah in still in the promised land after I kick out the northern kingdom. All right, verse 8. Hosea 7:1, verse 8. Now, when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. So this is God just using Hosea's family to describe the relationship that we as Israelites had forced upon God. All right, verse 10. This prophecy right here is very heavy. And this word, it ties in with the chief prophets, Ariah, Abba Bivens, Mashah, Yaqub, Bahari, Shai, Shon, Gazak. For Hosea 7:1, verse 10, it says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be at the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. So it's telling you that the Israelites, you can't number how many Israelites there are from the whole entire nation, from all 12 tribes. That even though, yes, the northern kingdom of Israel is going to be kicked up out of the promised land, that the number of the Israelites cannot be counted. So to come over here and spread eventually to North, Central, South America, and to be the original inhabitants, or the aborigines, or of the so-called Americas, that those numbers were innumerable. You can't count how many of us there are over here, all right? Again, one of the signs that was used to indicate knowing that upon the age of the so-called discovery, that a lot of the priests, a lot of the Jesuit priests, a lot of the explorers, that they understood, like, damn, all the numbers of people that are over here, how could these not be the Israelites? How we, and then for ancient Hebrew mounds, like in Las Lunas, you know, the Las Lunas rock, that has a portion of the Ten Commandments in the ancient Hebrew writing, in the ancient Hebrew alphabet, that from the Yohiwa term for the Most High that was used among Native Americans, so-called Native Americans, the dress codes of so-called Native Americans with the fringes, the laws about women being on their menstrual cycles, how they had to be given their leeway, be separated and remove any type of work because of the trauma of going through having their monthly cycles. With the cramping and discomfort and the blood, that they would be removed for their health and for their safety. Not as a punishment, but they'd be separated. To see all the separate things, again, the Native American dress code with the fringes, that, wow, how else, and then the go and get the stories, the histories of the people from their elders, that they know they came from Israel. They know they came from the 12 tribes. They know they're part of the 12 tribes. They knew what tribes they were. They weren't calling themselves Crow, Navajo, Pueblo, Apache. They weren't calling themselves these things, but they knew that we were Israel. They knew they were Israelites. All right. So in Hosea chapter 1 verse 10, once again it says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be at the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God." I got to check this, y'all, because I'm going over all this history. It's not recording. I'm going to be upset. I need to check this, y'all. Quick intermission.
right, brothers, we're going to try this again. I'm just going to go straight from the phone. I don't know how much of what was said was recorded or not recorded. What I was trying to do is give homage and a little history to Chief High Priest Abiyahu, who recently passed away, and give a little bit of history about the school that his father, Abba Bivens, and him had founded, the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge. I was trying to get some of that, but again, I don't know how much of the show I actually got, how much of what I was saying, some of the history I was going over actually got recorded. In closing, because like I said, I don't know how much of it actually came across, and I'm not going to bother to repeat myself about everything that was said. I don't know if at the beginning of the class was even recorded for the introductions. I'm not sure. I really hate these earbuds. I'm trying to – I need a new phone, really. I need a new phone, but – and I will be working on it. It's going to come through. I know it will. In reference to a prophecy about Chief High Priest Ariya and the elders of the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge, going to Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, and then I'm going to just try and brief this up real quick. It says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be at the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. So as we consider and look at, especially upon the age of discovery, the age of from when the so-called white man first came to the Americas, either as the Spanish, the Portuguese, the Italians, the French, the British, or what have you, that they found North, Central, South America inhabited with an innumerable number of people, again, from North America, Central America, South America, innumerable. And to look at some of their traditions and look at some of their dress codes and look at some of the morals that they have held, they were no doubt, and this was the first explorers, the first priests, the first colonizers, as they studied the ways and the culture, the culture and the history of the peoples that were here in the Americas, there's no doubt that we were other 12 tribes of Israel. Even the Mormons say and testify that the so-called Native Americans are one of the they are one of the tribes of Israel, even within the Mormon religion. So. In Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, it says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. There it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And we consider this, it says that in the place it was said unto them that ye are not my people. One important piece of history, one important in the history of the Israelites, is that of all the captivities that the Israelites, that we had to go under because of our sins, because of our transgressions, because of our idol worship, because of our wanting to be and participating in the culture, the feasts, the religions, the holidays of the nations of the world, and not keeping holy unto the Lord our God, is that we still knew we were Israelites. We still knew our nationality. It's only been from the colonizing of the Americas. Since the Americas were colonized from 1492, 1620 with the Pilgrims, what have you, or 1607 with the Pilgrims, that since the colonizing of the Americas, that it's only been here that our name was changed to Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, or so-called Mexicans, that we no longer were known as the Israelites. That even when the colonizers first came to the Americas, we still knew our nationality. We still knew, we still spoke different dialects of Hebrew, of the ancient Hebrew. But since the colonizers got here and brought their religions and their murderous ways and their genocide, that our history, our identity was wiped away. It was decimated, even to a point where now they came back and called themselves us. Now they're the Christians, and now they're Jewish. They literally just wiped us off the face of the earth, not just from our homeland, but trying to erase our identity altogether. So here in Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, it was prophesied, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And then verse 11, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. So what place are we seeing or finding in on a planet Earth that now we see the Israelites now being gathered together as one? Right here, starting in North America. Starting here in North America at the ISUBK, the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge, which then evolved to the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge, that you didn't have as much, you didn't have our people being gathered together in the Americas and returning to nationality, like until the 70s with the opening of the school at One West on 125th Street, under the leadership of Abba Bivens, Yaquab, Masha, and Ariah, that those identities had never been given to us, to the Israelites, to the so-called Negroes, to the so-called Mexicans, that our identity and being able to prove our identity in the scriptures, being able to prove our identity with archaeology, that had never been done before. That had never been done before, like was done from when this prophecy taking place at One West 125th Street under Chief High Priest Ariah, Abba Bivens, and Masha, Lahavi, Ishaya, Shar, and Kazak. So in Hosea chapter 1, verse 11, it says, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and anoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. And that we're returning back to the truth about who Jesus Christ really is, who the true Messiah really is. But that started at One West on 25th Street, that small sanctuary. So I just did want to give a little history, a little knowledge, and acknowledgement to some of the great works that Chief High Priest Ariah that he did accomplish. And yes, he did slip in his old age, no different than David, no different than Solomon. But his great works do follow him. The seeds that he did plant do follow him, most definitely. And I like how Bishop Nathaniel was saying, we're definitely going to see Ariah again. That brother's works do stand for him. A great man. And I would like to thank him for his dedication. Again, from the age of 12 until I believe they said his age was 82 when he finally passed away. From the age of 12 on up, weekend after weekend, that brother tirelessly was out here trying to reach, teach, and wake up the children of Israel, where it seemed like it was to no profit. To see that the numbers for years, they were in a small office, One West on 125th Street. And now to be able to look at the time of his death, to see that the work the Most High used, that Christ used with him, has literally spread across the world. It has literally spread across the world. And people are in the Bible, understanding the Bible, using the Bible as the history book that it is, and identifying who the Israelites are and identifying the truth that the Most High used him for a very great world, a very great man. So prayers to Ariah and his family, and to all Israelites, and to the remaining elders, Yeshaya, Shark, Bahamut, Gazak. Thank y'all, brothers, for y'all's dedication and y'all's sacrifices. Thank y'all for loving Christ, loving the Most High, to have suffered and sacrificed the things you've sacrificed, that Israelites might be able to wake up to the truth of the nationality. Thank y'all. And may the Most High Christ, it tells you that the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, they're going to be pillars in the kingdom of God. And these men were definitely going to be pillars in the kingdom of God, no doubt. Cool. with that, let me get into my recap as time keeps on slipping into the future. These introductions are getting ridiculous, y'all. It's already been 40 minutes. I can't believe it. It's already been 40 minutes. But let me do a quick recap. I want to move on in this series. We're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26 once again. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26. Let me do this. I didn't like that transition. That transition didn't feel right. I feel a little bit rushed. I'm going to hit some music, give a little intermission music, just so that I can go ahead and make this transition a little bit smoother, a little bit better, so people might be able to comprehend, get their minds into a place where we understand and know that, yes, we're making the transition. So I'm going to go ahead and give a little musical interlude. Yeah, let me do that. In honoring of Ariah, who was one of the main instruments to bring us back to the Paleo Hebrew, and I'm going to play the Psalms 121. I came back from the ISUPK, the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge, out of some brothers in Philly. Let me just play this so we can make this transition. Here we go.
Galia, Yala'a, Noam, Shashamoria, Ana, Yala'a, Noam, Wala'a, Yashun, Shashawamor, Yasha'ala, Yahawa, Shamaria, Yahawa, Tuzalia, Isle, Yum Yum Ya, Hashemash, Yala'a, Hakaya, Ayawam, Wala'a, Halabina, Balayala, Yahawa, Yashamaria, Rai, Yashamar, Nepasha, Yahawa, Yashamar, Hawalakya, Wabawaaya, Ma'aitha, Wa'ai, Awalam, Amun.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Let's go ahead and continue with the class now that we saw yesterday. Let's go ahead and go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 26. And we're going to do a quick recap from yesterday and going into today's class. Going to Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 26. Again, Nehemiah is giving the history of the Israelites. He gave a recap. When you start from Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 1, all the way through the entire chapter, he's giving a recap about the Israelites and our history up until that time. From the time that we came out of Egypt up to this time, The priests, they're giving a recap of the Israelites, of how many times we committed adultery against the Lord our God. We committed idolatry against the Lord our God. And the Lord would punish the Israelites and bring them into captivity. The Israelites would repent. We would repent. And then the God would send a Savior. He would send a Deliverer. More people might be more commonly familiar with the term. He'd send a judge. And that those judges would be saviors, they'd be deliverers, all right? So I'm just trying to get as brief a recap as possible without trying to lose everybody. Going to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26, and it reads, "Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their back, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations." So again, just trying to summarize the history of the Israelites, how things have been. Now, if you remember in the series that we were dealing with, we've already covered from Egypt all the way through the Assyrian captivity, when after the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, that during the Assyrian captivity, the northern kingdom of Israel, with 9.5 tribes, were expelled, put out of the land of Israel, and have not returned back since. And that was in approximately 722 BC, under the Assyrian captivity, that, again, the northern kingdom of Israel, with the 9.5 tribes, was kicked out of the promised land, leaving just the southern kingdom of Judah, with the 2.5 tribes, Judah, Benjamin, Levi. And then we've continued on within the series that we've been doing, leading to the Roman Empire, from the Assyrian Empire to the Babylonian Empire to the Persian and Median Empire to the Greeks and to the Romans. We covered that briefly, and please let me take this opportunity to give my brother Tazparia a shout-out and a plug to remind everybody, please, catch his show. He right now is going into the research. He's going into the history. He's bringing out the history, the archaeology, going through the Bible, matching the scriptures with history books, with secular books, and bringing out some of the details of these captivities, what was taking place with the Israelites in these captivities. On Tazapah Tuesdays, with his wife, Hasadiah, doing an excellent job. Please check it out. Yesterday he was covering more details about us in the Babylonian captivity and what took place, and even giving us some insight into the context of Haggai where the Lord was saying that it's a time for us to dwell in our sealed houses, but the house of the Lord lie waste. That going into the history of where that originally came from, and that was during the Babylon captivity, that many Israelites who have been taken captive into Babylon stayed in Babylon and got real comfortable in Babylon, that when it was time to restore and come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, many Israelites were too comfortable in the lifestyle and the society and their life that they've established in the Babylonian captivity, and that the Lord was reminding them, no, you need to come, get out your sealed house, and come take care of the house of the Most High, the temple. So he went over that show yesterday. Please check it out. The brother's doing some excellent work, some excellent research, and trying to help bring out and edify our people. And again, the brother brings out in a way where you can feel his love and his passion for people, for Israelites, for us to get things right so we can all go home. That's why, you know, a lot of people know Tazapah's uncle, Tazapah, that he comes across as that uncle. He's going to scold you. He's going to get on you, but he also had that drink with you, if that's what you need. The brother's got a lot of love. He's got a tremendous amount of love. So please check his show out. He's going over, again, the details of the Babylonian Empire right now in his series. Check it out. So we've gone through the Babylonian captivity. The Assyrian captivity, the northern kingdom got kicked out of the promised land, leaving the southern kingdom of Judah. And then the Babylonians came in rulership, and the Israelites went in captivity. And from the Babylonians, we came to the Persian Mede captivity. From the Persian Mede captivity, we came into the Greek captivity. And from the Greek captivity, we came to the Roman captivity. And from the Roman captivity, in 70 AD, that's when God finally kicked out the southern kingdom of Judah. Kicked the Jews out of the promised land in 70 AD. And we've covered that in previous parts of the series. Please check out Apple iTunes podcast, iHeartRadio podcast, Google podcast. They keep a live library of the past 200 shows on each one of those formats where you can go back and research and listen to any of the podcasts that we've done, the last 200 shows, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to the search box, put in my name, Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. It'll bring you to our episode page that goes all the way back to February 10th, 2010, February 18th, 2010. We're taking all the shows that we've ever done, from Kawakav to Harash to Banabad, War, Sam Shuan. Go and check them out. It's available at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to the search box, Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. Our episode page will come up, and they're in chronological order, going all the way back to the beginning that we first started our podcast. So here in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26, again, it says, "Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them, to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocation." So we as Israelites did a lot of things to provoke and anger and cause fury and wrath and God's vengeance upon us as Israelites, to where we were kicked out of the promised land, that the land that was promised to God's friend Abraham, and to Abraham's seed, being us, the Israelites, our behavior, our conduct, our whoredom, I don't have a better way to say it, finally got us kicked out of the promised land. It finally got to that point, we got kicked out of the promised land. And I've been going over that. But let's go now to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. If we understand that the nation of Israel is split into two kingdoms, and that the northern kingdom of Israel was kicked out of the promised land and dispersed and scattered among all the countries of the earth, in 722 BC, 722 years before Christ during the Assyrian captivity. And then if we reflect on what happened to the Jews in 70 AD, that the Jews, the true Jews, the Israelites, not the Israelis, but the Israelites, that's when we were finally kicked out of the promised land and it was scattered to the four winds of the earth, winding up here in the Americas on the cargo slave ships. That there was two, the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms. If I can make sure that's kind of stuck, that's kind of understood. Let's go now to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Let's go now to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I know this is one of a favorite verse that Christians like to use from the false colonized version of Christianity, from the religion of Christianity, but not from a biblical background, a historical background of what the Bible is really talking about, that they like to look at the context of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, just from the New Testament, that they really teach about the Old Testament. The Old Testament is rarely brought up to really get some real context. And that's one thing that we as Hebrew Israelites are always compared to or said about us, that we don't read the scriptures in context. If you don't understand the history of the Old Testament, there's no way you're going to understand the context of the New Testament. That your context of the New Testament coming, it's like watching half a movie. If you only come in at half the movie, and then you're trying to argue with somebody who's been there for the whole movie and trying to give the context of what's going on, and you get mad at them because they watched the whole movie, and then they're trying to tell you what's happening, but you're trying to tell them, no, this is what the Bible's really saying. This is what's really going on. But you're only coming from half of the book. You're only coming from the New Testament. You're not putting in any context of the Old Testament. You're not putting into any context the Apocrypha, which is a part of the Bible. You're only coming from the New Testament teachings from when colonizers first came to the Americas, teaching their form of Christianity, which is deficient, to say the least. It is lacking a lot. So coming back now to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you understand who all is talking about, it's talking about all the Israelites have sinned. You're not going to understand, you're not going to really be able to appreciate, understand who Jesus Christ is and what his purpose is and what he's doing. You're really not going to understand it. Especially now, Hebrew Israelites, the descendants of the Hebrew Israelites, are not going to understand and really appreciate what's going on and what's happening and what we as the nation of Israel, being the descendants of those people that were carried away captive during the Assyrian captivity, the descendants of those people that were carried away and kicked out of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and have been kicked and dispersed and scattered to the four corners of the earth and have been taught lies, have been and worshiped every other god, every other philosophy, every other doctrine, every other education, every other political system that this earth has to offer, and not getting back to the one true God, and not getting back to the true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So, again, in sticking to the precepts, in honor of Chief High Priest Ariah, let's go to, I don't want to touch that Bible. Let's go here. Let's go to Isaiah. Nope. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. And I want to move fast. I need to be careful with my language, with my words. Say everything can be understood. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. And yes, I am going to start at verse 14. No, I'm starting at verse 12. Really, we're probably going to read this whole chapter, but Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. And it says, go and proclaim these words toward the north. Again, in honor of Chief High Priest Ariah and his passing away and the works that he'd done. This is one of the first scriptures that he liked that was shown to him and he used to bring out. Go and proclaim these words toward the north. And where do we happen to be now? Where can you find all Israelites, all 12 tribes, North America, the great melting pot, where you have all nations gathered together in this place called the United States of America? what the Bible also refers to as Babylon the Great. You have all nationalities, all nations here in the Americas with their philosophies, with their languages, with their religions. That's why you have in some cities a little Chinatown. You might have a little Korea. You might have a little Italy. You might have a Greek town. You might have a German town. You might have a little Haiti. You might have a little Manila. That these are just all signs that you have all communities of all nationalities gathered here in America, unlike any other place in the world. You're not going to find the multicultural ethnicities gathered together in one spot like you do here in America, like what was going on with ancient Babylon at the Tower of Babel. And then also, where else can you find remnants of all 12 tribes, if not here in America? It's called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans. You can find all those seeds, remnants of those seeds here in the Americas. We've been scattered to four corners, but you can find remnants of each one of these tribes here in America, unlike you can't go anywhere else on the planet Earth and find remnants of Israelites like you can here in America, which happens to be where? North America. So here, again, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Now, we know this was also during the time of Jeremiah, referring to the northern tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel, but we can also see where now the Bible is so perfect that this prophecy also matches us here today in North America with the tribes. Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. So again, one thing we're going to find out, we as Israelites, we got to get to the point now as we're waking up as Israelites, but it's finding out our nationality, no matter what congregation you might be affiliated with. If it is IUIC, if it is a GOCC, if it is a Believers of the Way, if it's Light of Zion, if it's the Watchman for Israel, if it's the House of the Anointed, the Ambassadors of Christ, if it's the Sons of Thunder, there's so many different camp names and church names and of Hebrew Israelites. I'm not going to split hairs with it. One thing we have to do as a nation is come together and acknowledge our transgression. We have to truly repent. We, as a nation of Israel, we've got to repent to the Lord our God, like what our forefathers did in our history. That every time the Lord God would bring us into captivity, we would repent. And we would confess to the Lord our God that we sinned against him. We would confess our sins. And then we would ask the Lord to send a Savior. And in so doing, that would always happen. That has been the history of the Israelites. So even to this very day, the importance of now we're waking up to who we are. We're waking up to that we are the Israelites. Well, our next step is now we're finding out and understand we're the Israelites, it's time for us to repent. Not just change. Not just, okay, I used to smoke cigarettes, so I'm going to stop. Not just I used to eat pork, now I'm going to stop. I used to get tattoos, now I stopped getting tattoos. There's got to be a real sorrow coming from us when we understand what true repentance really is. That it's not just because I changed or I stopped smoking, so I start chewing a Nicorette gum or I put a patch on. It goes so much deeper than that and so much more than that we have to acknowledge and say and admit our own sins and transgressions and the sins of our forefathers, their sins and their transgressions. And for everybody that we've ever looked up to that is not taught us the scriptures, has not taught us the Bible, has not taught us not only our nationality, but yeah, that scolds us into feeling guilty about the things we've done. To where it says, Proverbs 7:27, verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 or 12 verse 5, where it says that God only chastises the ones he loves. Now, we got to really come back and understand that if we're being made to feel bad about things we've done, we're supposed to feel bad about what we've done, especially when we consider the history of our people and what we've done against the Lord, our God, the God, the Most High. And we acknowledge that the only reason God is giving us a chance of salvation, the only reason God's going to send the last Savior who the world calls Jesus Christ is because of his promise to Abraham. And in Isaac and Jacob, that's the only reason, because our conduct has not warranted any further mercy, any further grace from the Lord our God. I mean, come on, brother and sister. Look at Jeremiah 3:13. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. When you think about whoredom, you think about adultery, that's a sex act. All right, that he said we scattered our ways to strangers under every green tree. That the scenario that he's painting, and this might be graphic, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but the scenario he's painting is that it's like we're his wife, the nation of Israel is God's wife, we're his woman, but we've had sex with every stranger we could under every green tree. Do we understand that? That's how he feels? That's how he looks at the nation of Israel? That we're that whore that has had sex with strangers under every green tree when we're supposed to be the wife of God. When we married God, we made a covenant with God, a contract with God at Mount Sinai where God said, I will be your God if you obey me. And we said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. We do. I do. We married God. We made a covenant with God. Matter of fact, we're going to keep reading. We're going to keep reading here in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. All right, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. He's telling us, Israelites, I married you, but we've acted like that whore who's had sex with every stranger under every single green tree. Now, how many green trees were in the land of Israel at this time? You know, I was raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we had the Sandia Mountains, which are the south end of the Rocky Mountains here in the United States. I've traveled as far as Denver in Colorado and in those roads in Colorado and seen the mountains. The Sandia Crest that overshadows Albuquerque, I believe that the altitude for that is 12,000 feet. I believe the altitude for the Sandia Crest is like 12,000 feet. When you get up into Colorado, wow. You're dealing with now mountain summits, mountain ranges that it go up as high as 14 to 16,000 feet. So I believe from what the brother Ahmad was sharing with me, when we would travel back and forth, when we was working, doing deliveries for Amazon and for Costco, that there's a snow cap. For those that might be familiar with the Coors emblem or the Coors can of beer, that is supposed to represent snow-capped Rocky Mountains. Well, one of the deliveries that we happened to make when we was making deliveries for Costco and for Amazon, we made the delivery, and the view that this particular customer had out of their back living room was actually a view of the same mountain that Coors uses on their emblem. It's the mountain with the snow caps, and the snow caps is because even in summertime, above I believe it's 14,000 square feet, it's still so cold that even the sun in summertime, that at the base of the mountain, it might be 100 degrees. But because the altitude now is so high, that now at 14,000 square feet, it's a snow cap, that above, anything above that, above 14,000, the snow is not going to melt. So when you look at those mountains of that altitude, of that elevation, we'd be driving on some of these roads, and when you see the trees that would be upon these mountains, and these trees would be well over 100 foot each. They would look like little splinters. They would look like almost like you might look at razor stubble on somebody's chin. That they look minuscule. They look so small, but each of these trees would be towering well over 100 feet. Each of these trees would be towering well over 100 feet, and they'd be so dense, it would look almost like a green carpet, if you will. It's hard to explain just to see it up close. It's almost terrifying, because we'd be going up some of these mountains and look over the edge. Literally, it's switchbacks, sidewinding highways and streets, a highway going back and forth through these mountain passes with literally cliffs. And you look over this cliff as you're driving, and you're realizing that you're so far up that the trees at the bottom of these cliffs, they look like razor stubble. But you understand that, no, those trees are actually, each one of them is actually over 100 foot high. And there'd be so many of them. They come back now and look at a scripture like this, where he says that we have scattered our ways to the strangers under every green tree. That's how much sex we've had against God. That's how he's putting it. That's the image that that's the statement he's making. But that, again, Jeremiah 3:14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Again, in honor of the elders, Abba Bivens, Chief High Priest Ariah, Masha, Yaikwa, Lahab, Yeshaya, Shar, and Kazak, that these men to have working diligently in the vineyard, in the vineyard of God, to wake up the 12 tribes of Israel, to bring the knowledge of God back to us, the knowledge of our identity back to us, to repent and to understand who Christ is, again, in fulfilling one of the prophecies about this scripture. And fulfilling these things, this was definitely accomplished. That in the place it was sent to us, that we are not God's people, in that place we're finding out we are God's people, right here in the Americas. Starting at a small little school at 1 West on 25th Street with Abba Bivens, Ariah, Yaikwa, Masha, Lahab, Yeshaya, Shar, and Kazak. All right? This was done. So from here, I just want to go to Isaiah now, chapter 28. But let me do this. Let's go to Psalms. Because here it just told us that the Lord's going to give us pastors according to his heart, which are going to feed us with knowledge and understanding. But let's go to the book of Psalms now, chapter 119. How does God give understanding? How does God give his pastors his understanding so we know that it's coming from God's heart, so we know it's coming from God's mind? When we go to the book of Psalms, the 119th Psalms, Psalms chapter 119, verse the 104th Psalms, the 119th Psalms, verse 104, this is what it says. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Again, that is through God, through the precepts of the Bible, that's how we get understanding, through the precepts, right? Through the commands, through the scriptures, that that's how we're going to get understanding. So God said, I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That there's going to be, God's going to raise up his pastors, his teachers, that are going to feed us the precepts to give us God's understanding. Now, how are these precepts put together for us to get the understanding? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28 now. And verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. We're going to go tonight to the book of Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. And it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Whom is God going to teach his knowledge to? And whom is God going to make to understand his doctrine? It says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That if we're going to get God's knowledge and God's understanding, that we have to be weaned from the milk and we have to be drawn from the breast. He's going to go further on to explain himself. That if we really want to get God's understanding, verse 10 now, Isaiah chapter 20, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. If we really want to, if we really want to get God's understanding, we've got to put the precepts together. It's going to, and it's going to be line upon line, here a little and there a little. That we might get a little bit out of the New Testament, a little bit out of the Apocrypha, a little bit out of the Old Testament. And there's going to be some jumping around if we really want to get understanding about things. So we want to get some understanding about Romans chapter 3, verse 23, about who the all is. Who are all that have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Let's get some of these precepts so we can get God's understanding. Let's get some of these scriptures here a little, there a little, so we can get God's understanding about what Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is talking about. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 32. The book of Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 32. And it says, because of all the evil of who? The children of Israel and the children of Judah. So here he's addressing who's been evil. The children of Israel and the children of Judah. Which they have done to provoke me to anger. They and their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets. And the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The all being referred to here is all of Israel and Judah, which represents all 12 tribes of Israel, has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not the whole entire world. Not the Ishmaelites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Midianites, the Canaanites or the Cushites or the Egyptians or the Japhites, not all have done evil in the sight of the Lord our God. And for God to come back and name the God, the kings of all, the Israelites. The kings of Israel and Judah, the princes of Israel and Judah, the priests of Israel and Judah, the prophets of Israel and Judah, and the men of Israel and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's only the Israel. All that's listing all the Israelites. That we're the ones that have sinned and have come short of the glory of God to be worthy of God's kingdom. When we go to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 16, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 16, it says, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for all the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then again, it's all of Israel and Judah. All the whole entire nation of Israel have been the ones that when it's talking about all, it's the Israelites. It's the Israelites. Now, when we go to Psalms, go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. I'm going to go there first. Psalms chapter 78. I'm going to show you verse 5. Psalm 78, verse 5, and this is what it reads. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob, that God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So the thing that the Israelites are supposed to do, we're supposed to make the laws of God known to our children. Now, why is that important? Why is it important that we make the laws of God known to our children? Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 147. The 147th Psalms, verse 19. The 147th Psalms and verse 19. This is what it says. Psalms chapter 147 and verse 19. He showed his word unto Jacob. So God showed his word to Jacob where? On Mount Sinai. That the Israelites, after the exodus out of Egypt, after seeing the Egyptians killed, slaughtered, destroyed, not only with the Passover, but also at the Red Sea. We saw the Egyptian army killed at the Red Sea. Then upon getting to Mount Sinai, the Israelites heard the voice of God, and we saw it was felt. Then God, with his own finger, wrote the Ten Commandments on two tablets. So here, again, we have Psalm chapter 147, verse 19. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. God gave his word, his statutes, and his judgments unto Israel, the nation of Israel. Verse 20. He had not dealt so with any. It tells you, as far as who has God showed his word to, who is God giving his statutes and his judgments to? Only to the nation of Israel. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, and Issachar. Who did God make his covenant with? Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, Issachar. Who did God marry at the Mount Sinai? Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, Issachar, the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 20. He has not dealt so with any nation. Colon. He has not given any other nation his word, his statutes, or his judgments. Reading on, verse 20. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. No other nation has known the judgments of God. Praise ye the Lord. So we put these things together. The only people who could have sinned, when it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, are those people that were given the law. How do we understand this? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Let's define what sin is. Let's use the Bible to define what sin actually is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Brothers, we can't get around that. We can't get away from it. We cannot escape that. The only way you can be a sinner is if you break God's law. Who was the only nation that was given God's law? The Israelites. The nation of Israel. We were the only nation that God gave his law to, that God made a covenant with about receiving his law. That was only the nation of Israel. That was nobody else. So we're understanding these things, and the only people who could be accused of being sinners, or as we're coming off of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That can only be the Israelites that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 now. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. The book of Romans chapter 4, verse 15. And it says, because the law worketh wrath, and it does. When you break God's law, there is wrath. There's consequences. And who has suffered more than Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, and Issachar? Who's been in captivity to every nation? Who's been persecuted more than our people? Than the Jew, not Jewish, than the Jews. The real Jews. From the age of conquest in 1492, when Columbus first got to the Americas and brought a trail of murderers, of thieves, of killers, of rapists in his path. 1492, what is that? 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 I hate technology. But we're going to use it and get around the best we can. If we take 2023 minus 1492, that's 531 years. How many crimes have been committed against the natives of the Americas since the colonizers got here? And expressly dealing with the wrath of God. How long of a Holocaust, a 531-year Holocaust, have the so-called natives of the Americas had to endure from colonizers, white people coming here, to execute the wrath of God upon the Israelites for our idolatry, for our whoredoms and adultery that we've committed against the Lord our God. So again, Romans chapter 4, verse 15, because the law worketh wrath. We break God's law, there's going to be wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. If you were never given the law, you can never be accused of transgressing the law. We live in the Americas, and we go by the American Constitution here in America. Can a Russian cop come over to America and now arrest an American in America for breaking the laws of Russia? If I've never, ever, 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 ever been to Russia, a day in my life, a second of my life, if you had never been to Russia a second in your life, can a Russian come into your house, your apartment, your place of work with his Russian badge and his Russian authority and his Russian laws and come arrest you because you broke a Russian law? No, that can't happen because you're not subject to the laws of Russia because you are in America. The Russian laws are dealing with Russians, not dealing with Americans. I hope that type of scenario is making some sense. I know it goes against every religious doctrine that a person has been taught, but I hope that scenario kind of makes some sense. A person from Thailand would not be able to come to Las Vegas, Nevada. And because in Thailand, gambling is illegal in Thailand, so that this cop from Thailand lands in Las Vegas, Nevada, is on the strip just arresting everybody because in Thailand, the law in Thailand is, and I don't know if it is, I'm just giving a scenario, that the law in Thailand is gambling is illegal. And so he's on the Las Vegas Strip just arresting everybody he can because the law in Thailand is gambling is illegal, but in Las Vegas it's legal? Just how ridiculous does that scenario, even trying to put that scenario together in your mind, how ridiculous does that really come across? Well, then the same thing applies. That same pattern applies to the laws of God, the laws of the Bible, to the people of the world. If you've never given God's law, you cannot ever be guilty of breaking God's law. You cannot be a transgressor. You cannot be a sinner if God never gave you his law. The only people God gave his law to, the only people he gave his law to are the Israelites. Henceforth, the Israelites are the only ones that can be sinners. I'm trying to find this other scripture one more time. Psalm chapter 105. Give me 1 second, y'all. Give me a second. I'm going to see if I can find the scripture real quick.
Man, there's so much going on in this world nowadays, man. Sometimes you just gotta bend, you know what I mean? Rats.com, I got you, Pac-Q.
Yeah. What do you think that your shy gon' do? You think that he coming to jump through the hoops? You think that he coming with flowers and roses and rainbows? Homeboy, you are really confused. I'm not gon' lie, I'm just gon' tell you the truth. He gave me this gift, so I'm up in his booth. And I'm venting, I'm sending the message. I pray that you hear, cause these chains are as tight as a noose. These rappers using they platform to talk nonsense to these kids. You wonder why they y'all in prison doing biz. You wonder why these young kids having kids. You wonder why they dealing drugs, getting killed.
It's been a long time since I've heard any of my chief high priests already go over this. So a little brain fog, but we're going to Psalm chapter 105, verse 9. Psalm chapter 105, verse 9 and 10. Psalm chapter 105, verses 9 and 10. It says, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. So God confirmed the covenant unto Jacob for a law. Again, he's not dealt so with any other nation in that same way. And no other nation has felt the wrath of God. That's why I started playing from Corrupted Isaiah and Yapak Q, that ventilation. We need just a little bit of ventilation. Why? Because we are the ones who have been suffering the wrath of God. That's why we're screaming for human rights. We're screaming for civil rights. We're screaming for humanity. We're screaming for war crimes. We're screaming for the injustices that continue to afflict us as a people, from the ICE, immigrant prisons, jailhouses, slaughterhouses that our people are subject to on the southern border of the United States, to the straight out genocide. Yeah, as we're watching Snowfall, the U.S. government really did. And I love how they put in this guy, Franklin. I love how Hollywood is putting, like, Franklin, that he's the biggest cocaine or crack dealer in the whole world. Under whose authority, though? Under whose power? The CIA and a Jewish man named Avi, who was a gun runner, a weapons dealer. They don't really magnify these two as much. They want to make sure the focus is on the black crack cocaine drug dealer, that he's the one bringing the evil to the ghettos and the streets of America, even though if the money was used to fund the Iran-Contra scandals. We go back and look at the movie these bastards want to give Denzel Washington another Academy Award for not Training Day, where he played a corrupt cop, as if there's been no white corrupt cops ever, that the focus is on a black corrupt cop. Oh yeah, okay. Or even him playing Frank Lucas, that Frank Lucas is responsible for bringing all the heroin into America, to bring into the black and Hispanic communities. Shut the front door. Shut the front door. I might get a soundbite. I'm just going to get that soundbite of a door closing, which is definitely going to stand for shut the front door. Now, I'm looking at the acronym that comes from shut the front door, the STF. I'm STFU. A little too descriptive. All right, cool. But again, God only established and appointed a law to the Israelites. So henceforth, the Israelites are the ones who could be sentenced. And the Israelites are the only ones who had to feel and deal with the wrath of God, that we have provoked God to that type of anger. God has not really been concerned with the other nations. God only chastises the ones he loves. I did quote that earlier. Let's get that. And we could go into the Apocrypha, as my memory is getting clear, but we're not going to, it's going to take a little bit too far off. But let's go to Hebrews. Look at the book of Hebrews. And we are going to chapter 12 and verse 5. Right, Hebrews chapter 12, I'm starting at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm starting at verse 5. And it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the testing of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives." There's so much in this right here. First off, who does God claim as his firstborn son and his son? Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. "For Israel is my son, even my firstborn." God plainly says the Israelites are, it's his seed, it's his sons. In that relationship, in that type of intimacy, we're his sons, we're his children. He's married to us. He gave us his law, his word. And when we break those things, then we experience his wrath like no one else is. But why do we experience his wrath? Because he only chastises the ones he loves. Where did Paul get this from? This thing here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, New Testament, did Paul just come up with this on his own, that he was out in the sun when one of the days he got shipwrecked and the sun's beating down on him? He's in the water as a dolphin swam by, as jellyfish or thinking whatever, and he's just sitting there just thinking, and just out the blue just came up with this saying, or was this a scripture that he remembered? Is it a scripture that he's quoting? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. And it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Come on, y'all. And again, the nation of Israel, Exodus 4:22, we are God's son, we're his children. When we go to, that's a good one, Michelle. You ain't pull that one in a minute. Where is that at? Jeremiah 31? That's a good scripture. Here it is. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. Let me highlight this. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 9. And it says, "They shall come with weeping and with supplications while I lead them." The Israelites, this is the scripture. These are some scriptures, again, going all the way back to when I first came in the truth. Elders, y'all did some wonderful job. Y'all did a wonderful job. We're going to come, the Israelites, we're going to come with weeping and with supplications. This thing that we've gotten from religion, that the day of the Lord is going to be a day of sunshine. It's going to be a day of, I guess somehow it's going to be sunshine, but yeah, also rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. And it's going to be a happy day. That we've got those, that type of mentality that we're not reading the scriptures. Oh, it's going to be a great day when God does finally deliver the Israelites from this last captivity by the hand of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's going to be dark. It's going to be a lot of death. And the Israelites, the only way we're going to get to that point, it tells you, I mean, what did Christ tell the apostles? That through much tribulation, we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're going to come with weeping and supplications. Jeremiah 31 and 9. Damn. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 9. They shall come with weeping and with supplications while I lead them. Talk about us Israelites, especially in these days now. He that increases wisdom increases sorrow. The more we keep seeing what we've done against God, to God, there is supposed to be sorrow. Not I'm going to wipe my mouth and say, I've done nothing wrong. Jeremiah 31 and 9. They shall come with weeping and with supplications while I lead them. I will cause them to walk in walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Come on, y'all. I am a father to Israel. So when we say the Our Father prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, that's only referring to the Israelites. God is only thinking about the Israelites. God gave that message to Jesus Christ. He gives it to the Israelites. He is our Father, and he has been chastising us like a father does a disobedient son. A disobedient son that continues to provoke his father by sinning, by not keeping the rules, by not keeping the laws. That for as many times as the father has tried to share his thoughts, his reasoning with a son who is stubborn, hard-headed, rebellious, maliciously contrary, that there's going to be wrath. There's going to be anger. And this has definitely happened and is happening to the children of Israel, to the Israelites. Let's see Jeremiah 35:17. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. Micah chapter 1 verse 5. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Again, all Israel have been the ones that we've all sinned. And we've all had been to have suffered God's wrath on a national level because of our sins. That God's only chastising the ones he loves. And that if you be without chastisement, we didn't finish Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 5, verse 12, or 12, verse 5, verse 7, as a matter of fact. Do I still have that? No, I don't want to change the subject. That if you never had to deal with God's wrath on the national level, God ain't dealing with you. The only nation of people that have been dealing with God's wrath because of our sins is the nation of Israel. The 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. We've been the only ones who have been affected by this, because we're the ones who provoked God. Now, I've gone over 3 days now of scriptures of really how God has felt about the relationship with the Israelites and how we were finally kicked about the land. We've been scattered, dispersed, We have lost our identity, our nationality, that we've had that stripped from us, and we've been justly beaten by our enemies. We're still in the land and the hand of our enemies. But again, because of God's promise to Abraham, because of the Father's promise to Abraham, we will be redeemed. The Israelites are going to be redeemed. From now, let's go to Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews, chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 8. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 8. And it says, for finding fault with them, talking about the Israelites, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with them, with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So when the Assyrians came and took us up out the land, God didn't regard it. He didn't care. He was through with the northern kingdom of Israel at that time, the northern kingdom of the Israelites at that time. When the Romans finally came into Jerusalem in 70 AD and destroyed us, led us in captivity and committed all types of just inhumane acts against us, and have continued those things all the way here to 2023, March 1st, 2023, God does not regard it. God has turned his back on us because we turn our back on him. But let's check out the mercy of God, though. Let's check out how God operates. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I'm reading verse 9 again. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. So even though we as Israelites have broke the covenant with God, and God finally kicked us out of his house, he kicked us out of his land and left us in the hands of our enemies, and we've been scattered across the whole planet and had every human injustice possible to beat us, to afflict us, God is saying here in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. After this time where I'm not going to regard them and they can do whatever they're going to do to them, and I'm not looking, I'm going to hide my back, Hosea chapter 5 and 15, I'm going to go to my place until they acknowledge their iniquities, until they acknowledge what they've done, the Israelites. But remember we just read Jeremiah 31:9, I'm going to bring them with weeping and supplications. They're going to be some tears. I'm going to bring them back, and they're going to feel bad. They're going to realize what it is they've done. Hosea chapter 8, verse 10, and we're going to confess what we've done. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Who's he talking to and about? The house of Israel. Not the whole wide world. Not everybody, even though the Israelites, we have to understand something, though. The Israelites have been scattered around the whole wide world. They ain't talking about the whole wide world. But to the Israelites that come back with that weeping and that supplication, and we're confessing, we repent. From there, I'm going to go to the John Gill commentary. As I'm seeing the time is getting a little short. Got about maybe 57 minutes left. Going to the John Gill commentary. And I want to get John Gill's commentary, this historian's commentary, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. So when the Bible says finding fault with them and getting the commentary from this scholar, getting the commentary from this historian, on Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, finding fault with them. This is what this scholar says. This is his commentary. He says, the people of the old covenant who were not made faultless by it, Hebrews 8, verse 7, and whose disregard to God's covenant made him to regard them not, Hebrews 8, verse 9, the law is not in itself blamed, but the people who had not observed it. I'm glad John Gill had put this and wrote this. Contrary to what we have learned in religion, we really have this thing in our mind that there's something wrong with the law. So then God changed it to accept everybody. That we really have been taught and spoon-fed this horse doo-doo that the law is done away with. And that now with the law being done away with, now God has not accepted every red-blooded human on the planet. Because the law was too hard to keep. I'm glad Gawler said this. No, that this covenant, it says, the people of the old covenant who were made faultless by it and whose disregard of God's covenant made him, God, to regard them not. The law is not in itself blamed, but the people who had not observed it, the Israelites, who had not observed it. When we go to, returning back to the scripture, it says, he saith. Now, this is John Gill's commentary on he saith. He quotes, well, he goes to Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, and he compares that with Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, and then also Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through 27. I'm probably going to open up with this tomorrow, but I'm just going to read on with the commentary. It says, at Ramah, the headquarters of Nebuzaradan, whither the captives of Jerusalem had been led, Jeremiah uttered this prophecy of Israel's restoration under another David, whereby Rachel, wailing for her lost children, shall be comforted. Literally, in part fulfilled at the restoration under Zerubbabel, and more fully to be hereafter at Israel's return to their own land. Spiritually fulfilled in the gospel covenant, whereby God forgives absolutely his people's sins and writes his law by his spirit on the hearts of believers, the true Israel, again, of the Israelites. He's trying to sneak in here. John Gill's trying to get a little, trying to go to that, again, it's just about the believers. No, this is about the believers of the Israelites, the believers of Israel. Oh, that now after the punishment, we're going to have a chance to repent. We'll be given a chance to grace period to find out we're the Israelites. And now, are we going to repent? You know, like Jesus Christ's ministry was all about. Jesus Christ being the son of David. And his ministry being about what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To who? The Israelites. Whereby God forgives absolutely his people's sins and writes his law by his spirit on the hearts of believers, the true Israel. This prophecy forms the third part of the third trilogy of the three. Now, I'm not going into that. Jeremiah's prophecies may be divided. From Jeremiah chapter 21 through 25, against the shepherds of the people. Jeremiah chapter 26 through 29, against the false prophets of the Israelites. And then Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1 through 24. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 40, the book of restoration. All right? Reading on what the scripture says, behold, the days come. John Gill's commentary, the frequent formula introducing a messianic prophecy that yes, after God is wrath has been accomplished, we've been scattered and the nations have had their ways with us and did whatever the hell they wanted to do, and there had no justice. There's still a Messiah coming for the nation of Israel. Again, the word Messiah meaning the anointed, the chosen one, the last savior, the last judge, the last deliverer, whose name is Jesus Christ. Behold, the days come when the Lord shall make, dealing with the word make, it's a Greek word meaning to perfect. So when God says, I'm going to make them, meaning for the Greek word that's there, it means to perfect, to consummate. A suitable expression as to the new covenant, which perfected what the old could not. When we compare Hebrews 7, verse 9 with the end of Hebrews 7, 8, verse 10, Israel and Judah. Therefore, the ten tribes, as well as Judah, share in the new covenant. As both shared the exile, so both shall share the literal and spiritual restoration. I'm going to end today's class with that right there. After God's wrath because of our disobedience, God is still going to send. After much weeping and supplication, he's still going to send a Messiah. He's still going to send a Savior. That Savior's name, who the world calls Jesus Christ. We'll end it with that, brothers and sisters. I'll end this session, this class, with that right there. Let me highlight this so I know where I'm leaving off at. And today is Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. Today is Wednesday. On page 151. Today is Wednesday. We will have class tomorrow, Thursday, at the same time, the same scheduled time, and continue on with this right here, and now going into this the Messiah. Now going into that, yes, God's anger and wrath was justified in kicking us out of Israel during the Assyrian captivity, and kicking us out of Israel in 70 A.D. For every last thing that's happened to us, it was our own damn fault. I know Kanye said it, but everybody lost their damn mind when Kanye said that. But no, we were in slavery. We chose to be in slavery. Not from the context that Kanye is bringing it, but we chose to be in slavery because for over, 1,600 years, from the time that we came out of Egypt up until we finally got kicked out of the land of Israel in 70 A.D. under the white Romans, we had plenty of time to get it right. Plenty of time to get our act together, and we refused it. We refused to. So we've had to be punished. But now, the Father's ready to bring us back, and ready to bring us back after we confess and repent as the nation of Israel, as the 12 tribes of Israel, all the things we've done against God, going all the way back to the beginning, as a nation of Israel. As individuals, as the nation, what we have done against God. And then when we pray to the Lord, our God, to send the Savior, like our forefathers did in the past, he's ready to send that Savior. He's ready to send who the world calls Jesus Christ to save us from the hand of our enemies and of all that hate us, to bring the kingdom back to the Israelites. So with that, brothers and sisters, thank you for tuning in. Today is Wednesday. As you know, ISBHPK YouTube channels, whether it's San Antonio, Houston, Norfolk, Rochester, those channels are available. As Brother Taza Paz is encouraging people to check out ISBHPK 5 Minutes of Wisdom, ISBHPK Hidden Truth, other jewels, other gems to help you live your life, to help us get through these days as we're constantly cleaning up ourselves and repenting and acknowledging what we've done against God, And as we pray, that God will finally, that we confess our sins, and then God will send that Savior, who the world calls Jesus Christ. So with that, again, Passover's coming up. We're in March. Today's March 1st. Remember, March 6th and 7th. March 6th and March 7th is Purim. We will be recognized as Purim. March 6th and March 7th. And then a month after that, we got Passover. A month after that, we will be celebrating the Passover. So that, brothers and sisters, my name is Mashaba. Please join us tomorrow as we continue this class. As we're getting ready to introduce Jesus Christ, or in the Paleo Hebrew, Yahweh Shai. With that, shalom.
Yeah.